Our next and last speaker at this point, again, we'll have time at the end for questions, is Dr. Luis Rodriguez Gonzalez. And he has received his MD degree from New York Medical College, as also a specialty in obstetrics and gynecology. He has an MPH and a DRPH from the School of Health Sciences and Practice in New York Medical College. And he's also a teaching assistant in the Department of Health Policy and Management.
I want to add that I just became a nurse in May of 2015. I'm very proud of that. That's why I have my RN there. Good morning, everyone. The title of my presentation is the University Health Science Consortium and the American Association of Colleges of Nursing, Nursing Residency Program, Racial Disparities in Retention. Okay, I don't have any relationships to disclose. This rapidly increasing aging population in the U.S. is generating a growing need for healthcare and medical professionals. Baby boomers are currently at retirement age. The U.S. population is expected to increase by 46% by 2050, and the geriatric population, greater than 85 years of age, is expected to at least double by 2050. In addition to qualified doctors and medical institutions, nursing professionals are an integral part of providing care to the nation's patient population. Indeed, nurses form a key part of any healthcare team, with their job performance having a real impact on healthcare quality. However, over the next decade, a severe shortage of registered nurses is expected to develop due to several factors: a higher demand of registered nurses, an aging RN population beating a wave of RN retirements, a high attrition rate in undergraduate nursing education, and low retention and high turnover rates in first-year employment of nurses. This trend of high attrition in nursing education and lower retention in first-year employment have been shown to disproportionately affect minority nurses when compared to non-Hispanic white nurses. Taken together, these trends signal racial disparities issues at the national level, in addition to the looming nursing shortage risk. Fortunately, programs have been developed that positively and effectively increase first-year employment retention. One such program is the Nurse Residency Program, developed in 2002 by the American Association of Colleges of Nursing in collaboration with the University Health System Consortium. The NRP is a nationally standardized program of evidence-based nursing education and is transitional in the scope of nursing responsibilities and clinical practice. From 2002 to 2012, the program has had an overall impressive first-year nursing employment retention rate of 95.7%. However, racial disparities in program retention have not been investigated. To this end, this dissertation focuses on two general aims: determining whether the effect of the NRP on participant retention was equally or disproportionately observed in participant subgroups based on race and ethnicity, and identifying possible underlying causes and relationships driving any disparities found in the NRP retention. I'm going to skip the background because of the time, so I have to go up to... Okay, this table demonstrates the breakdown of the different race ethnicity subgroups of the NRP cohort. The columns highlighted in gray contain all ethnicity subgroups. The first set of rows show the number of individuals not retaining the NRP and corresponding non-retention proportions. The second set of rows show the number of individuals retaining the NRP and corresponding retention proportions for all the ethnicity subgroups. The final column gives you the number of individuals retained and not retained and corresponding proportions in the entire NRP cohort. The final row gives you a total number of participants and the corresponding proportions of each subgroup as part of the entire NRP cohort. Okay. When I look at the retention, I found the overall retention rate to be 95.7% for the entire NRP cohort. The retention rate for non-Hispanic whites was 96.1%. The retention rate for ethnic minority groups together, the average retention rate was found to be 94.2%, which is high in comparison to situations of attrition at the undergraduate level. To give you a sense of the proportion of whites to ethnic minorities, the total number of non-Hispanic white participants was 78.3%, and ethnic minority groups 20.5%. The minority cohort was then further subdivided into Hispanics, African American blacks, Asian, and other minority races, as can be seen in the table. As mentioned previously, differences in retention between the non-Hispanic white group and all four minority cohorts were determined using chi-square tests with adjusted residual post hoc analysis. So here I show the contingency table obtained for this analysis. The contingency table contains the retention proportions of the five subgroups. These proportions show the percentage of individuals retained the program, which are highlighted in blue. This column shows retention rates above 90% in all ethnic cohorts. The column on the left shows the not retained proportions for all the cohorts. As you can see, the chi-square value was found to be statistically significant, and therefore the null hypothesis of no difference was rejected. Adjusted residual C-scores were also obtained for all groups and used as a post hoc analysis to identify which of the five groups show significant difference in retention proportions. The adjusted residual for non-Hispanic whites, African-American blacks, Asians, and Hispanics were all statistically different than the null hypothesis expectation, and thus highly significant. The larger Z value of minus 0.74 for the African-American cohort, with a retention rate of 92.8% when compared to the Hispanic cohort, with a retention rate of 94.9% and a Z value of minus 2.4%, shows that the disparity in retention is seen to a larger degree in the African-American cohort than in the Hispanic cohort. The retention proportion corresponding to the Asian and other minority race groups showed a small adjusted residual indicating no statistically significant difference. The logistic regression model calculated odds ratio, standard errors, C statistics, p-values, and the 95% confidence interval. This was done for all the independent variables, and all are reported in this table. The following variables were found to be statistically significant: ethnicity, age, degree obtained, stress in personal life, satisfaction with workplace responsibilities, and satisfaction with salary. The odds ratio, as you can see, the odds of retention controlling for other factors decreased by 41.33% when one goes from the non-Hispanic white group to the minorities group. This finding is consistent with the proposed hypothesis of for ethnicity, retention is greater for non-Hispanic whites than for ethnic minorities. However, when the minorities group is teased, the retention did not seem to decrease for Hispanic, Asian, and other minority race cohorts relative to the non-Hispanic white cohort, while it did for the non-Hispanic black group. The odds of retention controlling for other factors decreased by 0.0337 for every one unit increase in age. This finding is not consistent with the proposed hypothesis for age that retention increases as age increases, and indicates the opposite, that retention decreases with age. The odds of retention controlling for other factors decreased by 23.17% when one goes from the accelerated bachelor's master's degree group to the bachelor's degree group. The odds of retention controlling for other factors decreased by 33.11% when one goes from the accelerated bachelor's master's degree group to the associate degree group. These findings are consistent with the proposed hypothesis for degree received. Retention decreases for participants with lower degrees than for participants with at least an accelerated bachelor's degree. No significant difference was identified between the higher division category and the diploma certificate category. But as you know, the diploma category is really something that's being really phased out and very quickly. just like eventually the associate degree in nursing will also be phased out. In previous healthcare experience, the odds of retention controlling for other factors decrease by 17.22% when one goes from not having previous healthcare experience to having previous healthcare experience. This finding is not consistent with the proposed hypothesis for previous healthcare experience associated with increased retention. The odds of retention controlling for other factors decreased by 16.60% for every unit change from strongly disagreeing with having stress in personal life to strongly agreeing with having stress in personal life. This finding is consistent with the proposed hypothesis for stress with personal life. Greater stress leads to decreased retention. The odds of retention controlling for other factors increased by 12.09% for every unit increase in the Likert scale for the very dissatisfied with salary to being very satisfied with salary. This finding is consistent with the proposed hypothesis for satisfaction with salary. Higher satisfaction leads to increased retention. The odds of retention controlling for other factors increased by 10.96% for every unit increase in the ordinal variable scale from being very dissatisfied to being satisfied with professional preparations for work responsibilities. This finding is consistent with the proposed hypothesis for satisfaction with preparation for work responsibilities. Higher satisfaction leads to increased retention. Stress in personal life. The odds of being retained increased by 21.89% when one goes from not having stress to having stress in personal life. So here you're not distinguishing with very satisfied. In other words, you're just going from one end to the other. Satisfaction with salary, the odds of being retained increased by 36.77% when one goes from not being satisfied to being satisfied with their salary. Satisfaction with preparation for work responsibilities, the odds of being retained increased by 52.19% when one goes from not being satisfied to being satisfied with their professional preparation for their work responsibilities. Okay, difference between independent variables in the ethnic cohorts. So here we broke this down even further. Advancing this unit of line investigation, three-way contingency tables, cross-tabulations, and chi-squared tests or Fisher tests, exact tests, were used to analyze the association between the independent variables and the participant retention, which was conditioned to an additional categorizing level of ethnicity. I'm not going to go into the tables because of the problem of time. But in summary, no significance was found in any of the subgroups of the variables age and gender. In degree received, stress in personal life, stress in personal relationship, and stress in finances, significance was found in the non-Hispanic white subgroup, but not in any of the minority subgroups. In stress in job performance and previous health experience, significance was found in the non-Hispanic white and other minority ethnicity subgroup, and no significance was found in the African-American black or Hispanic subgroups. In satisfaction with salary, work responsibilities and work encouragement and feedback, significance was found in all of the subgroups. Okay. I have 2 minutes. In conclusion, the ever-growing need for nurses to be well-qualified to meet the needs of hospitals and nursing institutions serving the American population must be a national priority. Retention in first-year employment alone has already been improved significantly to the NRP. You have to take into account that when you have high turnover, every person that leaves a hospital, the hospital has to spend over $85,000 to train a new nurse for that same job. So that first-year employment rate is very important. And right now, Kubner has just published where she says 70% of first-year employment nurses leave their profession. And then by the second year, that's up to almost double that, 34%. So this is an issue that is very, very important in terms of reducing costs. So retention in first-year employment alone has already been improved significantly to the NRP, and that's what makes this program so admirable. This is a laudable example of the application and use of novel ideas based on evidence-based research that are successfully accomplishing their objective. The nation's ethnic diversity is continuously expanding, making it more important that multicultural competency forms a part of the nursing profession and that racial disparities at all levels of this vocation are eradicated. Overall, defining the circumstances that foster satisfaction and alleviate stress within nursing institutions and nursing education will help organizations to develop policies or, at a minimum, will refocus them on increasing personal morale with the goal of increasing retention. Thank you.
Now have time for questions. I think this is a great overview of a variety of educational strategies and research and interventions addressing health disparities in public health nursing and nursing's role. Are there any questions for any of our speakers? Yes.
So I have a question for you. Two working in poverty simulation. I work at a public university, and we have a high proportion of students who have been affected by poverty, both personally, themselves and in their family and their social network. And so I was wondering
I just want to make sure that everybody heard the question, so I don't need to repeat it to anybody. Okay, great. Thank you. Can you use the microphone just because it's being recorded?
As we introduce the poverty simulation, we do acknowledge that for some of the students, this may be very real, and that this is not a game, and that this is only a simulation. And so we make, take some time to do that. And then as we debrief in the large group, we have the faculty and the community partners share a nugget of information that's real to them. In many cases, the people who are in the community resources, there are representatives of persons who've experienced poverty, and they acknowledge that and how they are a face of that experience. Then as the group debriefs, the facilitator specifically acknowledges again and asks targeted questions of the whole group, but then creates a space for students, if they do so choose to share, what this experience is like for them. So nobody's forced to share before the whole group, but there is a lot of acknowledgement that this is not a game. This is an experience for students to just gain greater understanding, empathy, and all, in our case, the 8 key questions, which the character one is always near and dear to my heart. What do I need to do to become more of the person that I want to be and the professional that I want to be?
Do you want to respond to that?
We also have a larger proportion of students who are of different socioeconomic status levels. No one was did not want to participate in this. One of the slides I did have from an RN to BSN student who did say, felt very strongly and repeated his sentiment that he thanked us for our effort to get this together. He was one of 12 students in a real poverty where crab apples knocked off a tree sustained many of them on many days. And he had his different thoughts of the system, but he thought the simulation was excellent for young nursing students to play out, and he had bet it had a lasting impression. So he was very appreciative of it in a way, as perhaps other students were, that we were bringing this to the surface so that other people might understand where they were. Or where they may have come from. We did have one student who was poor, was a military family, and they were very vocal about saying, hey, I was able to pull my myself up by my bootstraps. Everybody else should be able to do that as well. So then, you know, then that's where we're kind of talking about if you find these things early on, try to help the individual student or the group to work through these feelings and understand that even though you have these values or you've grown up in this environment, you need to change this as in terms of being a healthcare professional.
Thank you. Are there other questions for any of the speakers? Yes.
This may not be getting exactly at what you say, but what we do also when we open the session is invite the students to spend a moment to think about the shoulders of the people on whom they stand. That we come in, we sometimes think that we are coming in alone, but we're not. That what community supported us to take the seat where we are. And what responsibilities does that mean? Personally, in terms of attitudes, knowledge, skills, and also professionally, how the privilege or the opportunity, not to feel guilty about where we are, but what opportunities are there. And as you could see from Audrey's last slide, and the be the change is a real theme at James Madison, be the change you want to see, and how do we think of fairness in that way?
I just will add one comment that this may not be exactly what you're looking at, but some recent activities that are occurring, as well as ones that people on my campus and myself and a course I teach in social justice are beginning to use more of the privilege exercise, which helps people see that may not be socioeconomic, but there's also privilege that's a factor. And if you're doing the privilege activity and exercise, it's very powerful, it's very emotional, but it's another way for people to have a greater understanding of sort of we all come at whatever issues it might be from a variety of backgrounds. And so it's another activity that's been used. Did you want to comment?
Yeah, and as I was just going to say, as far as Community Kitchens, that was an organization created by people in the community. And as far as advocacy, I hear exactly what you're saying with having the people who were had higher positions of power advocating for that group and writing them into one of the programs that Seattle King County Public Health will actually support that is grassroots. As far as equity goes, you know, they create their own programming. Let's have some funding for a program created by and for the community. So that was an aspect of our collecting this research, showing evidence for what they're doing, why it's important to food insecurity and why it's important to hunger, and that we should support it.
So I'd like to give a round of applause to all of our speakers and thank them very much for your time.